your seats.
Yeah.
And we're going to be going to Genesis. We're going to finish, hopefully, we're going to go to chapter 1 and actually touch into chapter 3. But first, I want to do a little bit more of prep for chapter 2. Remember, we've done a couple of things to kind of prepare us for chapter 2 and chapter 3. Mm-hmm. And I want to give one, actually, a little bit off of something that Nancy said earlier about, you know, it's not about blind obedience. And so I want to give you an example of something, okay? And it's going to come in handy when we get to Genesis chapter 2, okay? When God gives some information about different trees. So I want you to imagine this scenario. Okay? Imagine a husband and a wife who have a very good marriage, okay? And the husband is not real controlling, not real manipulative. And he comes home and on a cold winter night where it's snowing and there's ice. And he comes home and the wife kind of asks what it's like. And she says, I really wanted to go shopping tonight. And the husband says, you know, you can go wherever you would like, but just drive carefully because it's really slick out there.
Yeah.
Okay? So, let me ask you a question. Is what he said a command or instruction?
Instruction.
All right. Okay, remember that then. Remember that. Remember that. Couldn't she said it's like a command? He's telling her what not to do. So what happens if she goes out and she disregards that and drives fast and gets into an accident? What's that?
I said, oops.
Oops, so if she has an accident, is it because her husband is punishing her?
No, no.
Why is she having an accident?
Because she disregarded his instruction.
Yes. What's another reason why she had an accident?
Rebellion.
Keep going. Why did she have an accident that night?
Because it was icy.
Because it was icy! And if you drive fast on ice, you're going to get into an accident. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just that he gave instruction. He actually shared with her information that was true.
Yes. And a warning.
It was a warning in the way of instruction because of certain circumstances. The way things actually are. What he shared with her was the way things actually are.
And it's a carrying protection.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. However, let me go a little further with this. Imagine if we take away my first statement about it being a really good marriage and he's not very authoritative necessarily or controlling. And he says the same thing. Will she potentially take it as an order or a command? Do you see what I'm saying? If the husband is often trying to get her to do things, manipulative.
And she see it as command?
Yeah. So in other words, the basis of which she views her husband and the relationship she has with the husband and her impression of him affects the way she even interprets whether it's command or instruction. Okay? That's pre-Genesis chapter 2. Alright? Yes, David.
That's the difference between Moses' relationship with God and the children of Israel. Moses knew his ways. Children of Israel knew his acts.
Oh, yes. That's good.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you know the character of someone,
yes,
it makes a huge difference in terms of the way you even interpret what they say.
Yeah.
If you know the person, if you know their character, it affects the way you interpret what they say.
Yes, very true.
Remember I said when we started this, the fall inverted our understanding of God.
Yes.
So that we tend to see God upside down. We've inverted what his character is like, and therefore, without Christ, we actually interpret him as the controlling, authoritative, manipulative God. And we tend to look at things that way.
You know, when I first came to the Lord, he would send me to his word, to the place that was my sin and weakness. And I would see him as a judge. He's always judging me. Why is he constantly just nattering? Why isn't he just telling me he loves me? He was. But I couldn't see it. I couldn't receive it. That's why discipleship is so important.
Oh, that's good.
Because we don't see correctly, and if we don't have someone to help us, it can be a longer journey than we needed to take.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So remember this as we go to chapter 2 in upcoming weeks about the difference between instruction and command. To some degree, can actually be based upon our impression of the one giving it. Mm-hmm. All right. So Genesis 1:29-2:3. The reason I chose this section is because I see this as a group. You know, just to let you know, you may not know this, okay? But when the scripture was written, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, when it was written, there was no punctuation, there was no verse numbers. Okay, that's an editing addition done later on. So the chapter breaks are, somebody added the chapter breaks at some point. And you know, chapter breaks, even a good novel, are not always perfect. Okay? And sometimes the flow is better actually even outside of that. Mm-hmm. So I'm not looking at verse 31 as the end of chapter 1. I think it actually ends closer to verse 30. The concept and the flow of the way the storyline goes. So that's what we're looking at today. I think I'm not going to read the whole thing in Hebrew. How about somebody pull it up in the English and read Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 29, and read to chapter 3, chapter 2, verse 3.
And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were of the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended. How far do you want me to go?
To chapter 2, verse 3.
And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all of his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. You emphasized just the right parts. It's almost like we planned this before, but it was not. I actually, today, essentially want to look at three phrases or three words. And I'm going to read the first one, just from verse 31 in the Hebrew. And it says, "Vayar Elohim et kol asher asah." V'hine tov ma'od. V'yehi erev v'yehi boker yom hashishi. Chantel said, and emphasized the word very. Okay. The Hebrew is tov ma'od, which literally means good, very. Now, what I want to say about this, we lost one screen, huh?
Yeah.
We can survive with one screen, right? Can you all guys all see that screen?
Yeah, there is
that. All right,
okay.
Let me get it back.
No, it's okay.
Let me get it back. It will take just a moment.
You know, that's in a hafa. With all of your veriness,
yes.
All of your muchness. be translated strength.
Yeah.
But with all of your muchness.
Yeah.
What I really like about this is that, you know, we need to emphasize what the Bible emphasizes and catch the uniquenesses of Scripture. And maybe I shared this once before here, but I have a friend who, she's got a great heart. She has an enthusiasm for life. Nobody here, nobody that you know. But when she talks about things, if she goes to a meeting, or she goes out to eat, it was very, very good. It was really, really good. She uses very and really. You know, if she goes to a movie, it was really, really good. It was very, very good. It's like almost anything she talks about, she uses the adverbs to describe it and the adjective to describe it. She just uses them all the time. And in some ways, there's something lost with her using those words so often. The Scriptures are very reserved in doing that. This is one of those unique places where there's a double, where there's a very good. In fact, there is no other scripture in the Hebrew Scriptures where the two words appear exactly next to each other. There's only one verse where it actually could be translated the same, and we'll take a look at that in a moment. But when everything was finished and God looked at it, it was very good. And why that's so important is because there was nothing wrong with it. There was nothing else that was needed. Okay? Part of the serpent's temptation was the implication that something wasn't yet complete. It was something was held back. Something was missing. Nothing was missing.
That's right.
It was very good. Nothing missing. Nothing lacking. Nothing awry. Interesting, the only other place where it is found, the two words are found, but there's actually a pronoun in between. And somebody can turn that to 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 4. The only other time it's used actually refers to King David. 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 4. Deb, you want to read it?
Then Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul his father and said to him,
that's the one.
The king sin against his servant, against David, because he has not sinned against you, and because his works have been very good towards you.
Yes, actually the Hebrew puts towards you in between.
Yes.
But the concept that Jonathan is saying to his dad, David's attitude towards you has been very good. It's interesting that David, the king after God's own heart, is on one other place where it's talked about very good.
No.
Okay.
That is interesting.
All right. Now, I want to take a little trip to the New Testament, and I want to share with you another amazing verse that illustrates this point about how infrequently God puts these, combines extra adjectives for adverbs. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, verse 23. And before I go to the Greek, I'd like somebody to read it in English. Maybe we'll try a couple of English versions. Philippians chapter 1, verse 23.
I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far.
Better by far. Okay, somebody else want to read it in another translation?
The reference again.
Philippians 1:23.
New King James says far better.
New King James says far better. It's really that last phrase there, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 23. Want to read it, David?
Well, mine is the modern English. I'm in a difficult position with you too, having inspired his heart to be with Christ, which is far better.
Okay. Anybody else? What translation do you have, John?
But I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ. For that is very much better.
Okay. In this case, the NASB is closer. Okay, because actually the phrase is made up of actually four Greek words. Okay, and three of them are adjectives or adverbs. It actually reads palo gar malon. Krison, which is very much for more better. Alright? It's very much more better is really the way it reads. Okay, very much more better. Okay. Paul is saying in this battle that he has, in terms of understanding that to be with Christ versus remaining on earth is very much more better. But he knows he's going to remain because there's a reason for him to remain to be a blessing to others. But this understanding of how much better it is to be with Christ. You know, we have this, and it's natural in some ways, for us to be very attached to this life. But one of the marks of the believer is that we have an understanding that to be with Christ is very much more better.
Yes.
We have a purpose on earth, we have a time, and we have a reason to be here. But to be with Christ is very much more better.
Very much
more better. Okay? It is, there's no place else in the New Testament that those words appear like that. It's the only time.
Wow. Cool.
So that's two of the references in this section. The next one is in verse chapter 2, verse 2 and verse 3. Does anybody know what word I highlighted on the screen? What Hebrew word? I have highlighted verse 2, and it also shows up in verse 3.
Shabbat.
Yeah. Yes. And what does it mean, Shabbat? Rest. And is it a noun or is it a verb?
Both.
Well, in this passage, in both of these verses, it's a verb. It's a verb. Okay, which means, yeah, it's
asher asol
asa vayishbot that that God did rest. God did cease. God did stop on the seventh day. Okay, because basically the word means I skipped a word. I'm sorry. I skipped one. Well, now what am I going to do?
Uh-oh.
So I'll stay at Shabbat and we'll come back to the other word. Okay? Sorry. It means to cease or to stop. Okay, is what Shabbat means. And why I think this is so important is because we do this with a couple of words scripturally. We don't think that we're Shabbatting today. We think we're celebrating the Sabbath. Can I say that again? Hear me. We don't think of necessarily that we're Shabbatting. We think we're celebrating the Sabbath. Jesus said that man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man.
Yeah.
We want to honor. See, the religious man in us wants to honor something. The something. And we've talked about this before, but maybe I should have done some review here, but if we go to God's name, Yahweh, or in the Hebrew characters, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, anybody remember, we might have talked about, what does his name convey? What does his name convey?
Well,
what he is, who is to come.
Which is what?
Of the time.
It's being.
Being.
It's existence. We think of God as a noun, and that's not incorrect, but he's actually the source of all being.
Yes.
Do you see the difference? See, we think of person, places, and things is how we define nouns. But God's name, by its nature, it implies existence. In fact, the way I'd like to say it, and I've said this, and it may just be reinforcing, you could translate Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh or Yahweh as he was and is and will come, the ever-existing one, the self-existing one. I almost like he is the is. There is no, nothing, I can't say this exactly because it doesn't work in English. Actually, the Greek of Exodus 3 puts it this way. He is the is, basically, or the ising one. Okay. He is the ising. He is the one that creates, he is the one that is being. You notice it has this almost, this has this, it's like a verb understanding. You see what I'm saying? It's not just a concept. It's a being. You know, that's eternal. Okay? It is.
This ising fills all.
Yes.
Past and future.
Yes. Yes.
He's ising.
Yes. 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 And so, and we've gone kind of way here, but in that is that, and I think this is true of, we look at Jesus, he isn't just love, he's loving.
Oh.
All right?
I'm going
okay. To he's not just care, he's caring. He's not just kindness, he's actually kinding to the human race. In other words, he exhibits those qualities.
He's the life.
And that's how the...
Yes, he's lifing.
That's how he fills all in all.
Yes, yes. So, but what we want to do, often as believers, we want to do the noun rather than the verb. In other words, what the new creation is a new being inside of us. It's not just becoming a noun. That's why I'm saying with the Sabbath, it's resting. It's not just a celebration of a noun, it's learning to be rest. Okay? It's to live in the atmosphere of resting. Yeah. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10. Go ahead, Jane.
For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his.
Rests from his works. Stops from his works. Yes, Nancy.
I heard of an example of what God was doing on Shabbat. It's kind of like a mom of a toddler, and the toddler just goes and goes and goes and goes and goes, and it's like it's nap time. The mom lays down with the toddler so that the toddler will stop and get recharged for a crazy afternoon. But the mom doesn't need that. Yes. Well, maybe she does. But
yes, she does. Yeah,
I'm sure she does. God didn't need the rest so much because he wanted us to stop. And so it's like a mom laying down with her toddler and saying,
oh, yes.
That fits what Jesus said. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath.
Right.
Yes, you're telling.
Taking care of my mom this last time has not been easy. It takes me roughly 8 to 10 hours to feed her. And each time I'm actually feeding her, it takes 45 minutes to an hour of standing up to feed her.
Mm-hmm.
So today when I was getting in the car, for the first time I think I've ever said it, I said, thank you, God, for the Sabbath that I can just go and be with you. Nothing else. I can be with those who love you. I can just be with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the Sabbath when everything else is pushed away. And it is Him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a concept of understanding Shabbat as season. In fact, here's Hebrews 4:10 on the board in the Hebrew, New Testament. And it says he was Shabbat. I'll read it. Ti haba el menuchato gam hu Shabbat mam lach to kasher ratolim yishonok. So Shabbat, again, cease from his work. Okay. This concept of ceasing, you know, isn't there a psalm I didn't bring up, a cease from man whose breath is in his nostrils? Is that right? Cease ye?
I'm not familiar.
I'll look it up later.
What's that again?
Cease.
Cease.
Whose breath is in his nostrils.
Sounds good.
You know, I'll look it up later. We'll leave that. We'll hang that on the hook for the moment. But this concept that ceasing from our own work, I think that's part of a process even as we walk with Christ. Because we're transformed.
Yes.
You know, not from what we're doing, but from Christ.
Yes.
Right, so there actually were four. I made a mistake. There were four words or four phrases today. And the other one, which is in verse 1. Of chapter 2.
The call,
Sabha. And actually, Chantal, what translation did you have?
I have the New King James.
Okay, New King James translates Sabha as hosts. Okay, which works. Works well. Anybody have the NIV?
We do.
It's all right. It's okay. Yes. I'm curious now what it said. I didn't look it up. But actually, the word has to do with military service, campaign, troops, army, warfare, or hosts.
Sabah or Sabot?
Well, Sabah'am, okay, them.
Okay.
The works, them, were finished.
Okay.
Okay. Sabah is army.
Yes.
Sivaot is of an army.
Okay.
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 So it's again, in Hebrew, I like to put it this way, is prefix and suffix happy.
Yeah.
Okay. Sivaam, them, those works that God had done, all of them, the host of them were completed. Okay. Sivaot is of those.
Okay.
And Sabah is just by itself, is the root. Okay. Now, and this word actually shows up, I did not tell you, this shows up like 15 times in the book of Haggai alone, which only has 3 chapters. And it shows up in Malachi a lot too. It shows up throughout the scriptures as Yahweh Sabaoth. The Lord of hosts.
Lord of hosts.
It's repeated a lot in the prophets. But hosts, you know, host is a little bit, I want to say a little bit weak.
Yeah.
Because we don't use the word host right. In any other way in our society. It's kind of an old English term. We really don't use it. Whereas an army or troops or even a campaign.
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm not so sure that in Genesis 2:1, it's referring specifically to armies.
Mm-hmm.
It might be referring to a campaign.
Mm-hmm.
The whole campaign of creation, mm-hmm. all of it was completed.
Mm-hmm.
The whole campaign strategy, if you want to even call it a warfare, it mm-hmm. was completed. In the face of the serpent's fall, this campaign was completed.
Yes.
All of it was completed.
Yes. Yes.
You can take a look at Isaiah 6:3. Maybe somebody can read it in the English.
One cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory."
You know, I'm still digesting. Michael sent me this info on some things about Messianic Judaism, I'm still digesting it.
Sorry.
He's rested. Yeah. There we go.
He gets up early and he's up till like 4 a.m.
Yeah.
I go to bed before him.
Yeah.
Like 1 or 2.
We need a babysitter to help us to properly go to sleep.
Tell you to go to bed.
But it's interesting, but this phrase from Isaiah 6:3 is in the Jewish liturgy. It was known as the Kedusha, which is in the middle of the Shemona Esrei.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and actually what the it's kind of extra holy spot. It does actually fit the context of Isaiah 6:3. And this phrase, you actually, in the Shemona Esrei moments, you say it silently, but then it's repeated after it's read silently. The cantor will go through it, but even we'll skip certain parts, or people will actually just read it kind of silently, but they get to this part, and it's out loud. Kadosh. Kadosh, Kadosh, Adonai Tzevaot, Olei Kol Haaretz Kavodo. Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh of Tzevaot, of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. It's an interesting spot in the liturgy. Anyway, so that's Tzevaot, or Tzevaot, the sense that all of this, whatever army campaign was needed in Genesis chapter 1, all of it is complete. That's why I put in my notes, the plan is completed. Okay.
So it began, we talked about it then, you're saying Genesis 1, in the creation after the rebellion of Satan.
Yes.
Then God makes all of this, creates all of this, and this is a campaign.
Yes.
Is what you're saying. This is a campaign. When you draw out a military plan campaign.
Yes. That's the thing about this word, is that it carries a military troop campaign battle understanding.
Yeah.
And so it really does fit, actually, Genesis 3:1, where this is used, in understanding Genesis 1:2. Oh, that's interesting.
2:1, you mean?
No, 1:2 and 2:1.
Mm-hmm. You said 3:1.
You said
3:1. Sorry, 1:2 and 2:1.
Yes, okay? That is it.
Because 1:2 indicates to us that there was some sort of, something was awry in the very, very beginning, which is a hint at Satan's fall.
Mm-hmm.
And in the face of that, God creates this earth, and he creates man, and he creates all the creatures, because on this earth, he is going to defeat this rebellion
Hallelujah.
That Satan started.
Hallelujah!
Yes, Don.
And from that dirt, he was breathing a hermit.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
That's what he was doing. Yes.
And I would actually say, actually, we haven't gotten to the dirt because that's what you're talking about. This is the plan.
This is the plan.
This is the plan. Before we talked about this, it's almost as though I believe it. I lean this way, that really what we've read about in terms of the creation of the animal, and the creation of Adam and Eve, the man and the woman in Genesis chapter 1, is the plan. Remember, there's the architect who writes it down on the table. Then there's the engineer that gets all the parts together. And then there's the workers who actually, the carpenters who actually form it. We don't get the word form until Genesis chapter 2. Yet, remember this, if you think about it, if you have a faithful architect, and you have a faithful engineer, and you have faithful workers that always do their job, once the plan is completed, on paper, it's done, it's real. Okay, it may not have been all material, it may not have actually been pumped there yet, and the carpenters maybe not have made it, but the plan is completed and it's perfect. Okay? I see Genesis chapter 1 as the plan being completed. Okay? There's still some fleshing out of the engineering of it and the forming of it, which we will get to in chapter 2. Okay? But the plan is complete. The strategy is complete. The blueprints are complete. And they are Tov Ma'od.
Yes.
They are very good. Nothing lacking in those plans.
Yes.
Nothing.
Hallelujah.
In those plans.
Yes. Yes. Hallelujah.
And the evidence of it, another evidence of it, of course, I went out of order, but this whole concept of Shabbat, of resting, God would not have stopped was it not very good. God does not do things incomplete.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So the very fact that he rests, that he takes the rest, and I don't even want to say he took a Sabbath, because he rested. We want to honor the day rather than what God did. Do you understand what I'm saying? I see it confused up over there.
He finished well.
He finished well.
Just like Jesus said, it is finished.
It is finished. Okay. And then, just as he finished, he rested. Mm-hmm. Verb. It's used both times in this section as a verb, not as a noun. You can try to honor the Sabbath but not rest.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can I say that again?
Yeah.
You can try to honor the Sabbath, but you might not be resting. You may not be Shabbatting.
That's right.
Shabbatting is a challenge to allow ourselves to cease from our own works. Yes, David.
Scripture says labor
to enter to rest.
Yeah. That's probably a study all in itself. Well, it's a challenge. It is a battle. I think that's, again, it is because we have to battle against, if you will, the old man. We want to do our thing. You know, it's difficult to rest. It's difficult to cease from our works. Most of us want to keep busy with the power of things. The whole concept of even Shabbat is that part of it is we're giving ourselves to God's thing rather than to our own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that concept really should flow through our lives 7 days a week.
Yes.
You know, that we're Shabbatting from our own ways.
Yes.
Ceasing from our, and we should be laboring to cease from our own ways,
yes.
Then we would walk in His ways.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I think that's where that labor is.
Yeah.
Because in Hebrews, it's not talking about a day.
No.
You know, Hebrews is talking about a life.
Yes, it is.
Okay? Because actually, the writer of Hebrews is referencing Joshua
mm-hmm.
and the children of Israel when they refused to go into the land.
Mm-hmm.
The rebellious generation, the 10 spies and that generation, did not enter into the rest.
Yeah, that's right.
They saw the issue of their own strength.
Yes.
They were trying to rely on their own strength, and they would not enter into the rest of God.
Yes.
They wouldn't cease from their own labors. In other words, they saw themselves as, we can't do this, and therefore we won't do it.
Mm.
In other words, if we don't have the strength, we will not do it.
Or it won't happen.
Or it won't happen, right. Whereas the believer will say, and this is what Joshua and Caleb said, is if the Lord pleases in us, or the Lord will give it to us.
Mm-hmm.
That's rest.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
All in the name of the Lord.
And so, you know, that's faith rest.
Yes.
Yes.
When you said to look up in Hebrews, the passage says, and we enter into God's faith rest life. We cease from our own works.
Yes.
Yeah, we rest in them, in God's works.
Yes, yes.
So you cease to depend on yourself.
Right.
Yes.
And you depend on God.
Yes.
That's Shabbati.
Mm-hmm. I heard Jeff Feinberg, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So Joe went to one or two of his studies with me, I know.
Friday night.
Right, Lincolnshire or somewhere. And he said, you've got 6 days to build your kingdom and your empire. On the seventh day, you should be mindful of God's kingdom.
Attention every day.
Well, that's the point of Hebrews.
Yeah.
You know, this is
how we live.
Yes. It is. I mean, that's the understanding of the new covenant. That God gives us things. Interesting. Genesis chapter 1 gives us the sun and the moon and the stars for signs and seasons. So we can actually tell the days of the week. We can tell when there's holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the Sabbath is a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But even the holidays, including the Shabbat, are to teach us greater principles about God. Not the holidays just in themselves. In other words, everything is in the purpose to teach us more about God.
Right. You can meditate.
Yes. Yes. And so it's not just, if we looked at Jesus and when he deals with the disciples over the Sabbath, and the Pharisees are finding fault because they're picking rain on the Sabbath, and Jesus addresses this. He's addressing this issue of your thinking that you were made for the Sabbath, not the Sabbath made for you. And he's saying, don't you know, you're looking at it in a very square box. God's kingdom is not a square box. And Jesus opened it up even further. And I think the book of Hebrews elaborates on this concept of entering into this rest of God. You know, I believe that in this understanding of faith, often as saints get older, those that have walked closely with the Lord, they actually enter into more rest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because they've learned not just that their bodies are getting older, but in that process too, they've learned not to trust in themselves. They're learning to cease from their own labor. You know, it's a process. And it's not just about a day of the week, it's about a whole being.
Yeah, that's right.
And really, you know, Jesus, what did Jesus say? He only does what he sees the Father doing.
Yeah.
He didn't do his own work.
Yeah.
That's right.
And he said, I am Lord of the Sabbath.
Yes. So, we're gonna continue Shabbating in just a few minutes off of this, but Chantel said she wanted to share a testimony.
I did. I wanted to share a testimony. I've been sad because I can't go out and talk to people about it. It's been hard. Everybody else gets to go, you know, and I'm at home. And my mother became extremely ill, and now we have hospice. And in hospice, though, we also had to have a chest x-ray. So a young man named Pascal came to take her x-ray. And we are talking, and I can't not talk about God. It just comes up. So he said, are you Jewish? I said, I'm Messianic. He said, what is that? And so we went through the whole thing about Messianic. And he said, he is actually from Nairobi. It's funny, because I said, where are you from? He said, Palestine. I said, no, originally. Where are you from? He said, Nairobi. His father is Jewish. He goes back to Nairobi every 6 months. And it's always 70 to 80 degrees there, which makes sense. And as we were talking, he said that a friend of his had given him a Quran. And so he said, well, what is the difference? And I was given the opportunity to explain the gospel, to explain how it is different from Islam because they never have a surety outside of jihad of salvation and going to heaven. But we do. And I was able to explain it all. And when we were done, he said, oh, okay, God bless you. And as he left, I went to the bathroom. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I should have given him a Bible. So I got down and I said, all right, God, you'll have to keep him here. And he was there. He was still outside. So I ran out and I said, Pascal, do you have a Bible? He said, no. I said, would you receive from me a New Testament? He said, yes. I said, all right, don't move. And so I went and got a Gideon that I had, a last Gideon, a New Testament. And as I'm walking out, I'm saying, and he's hearing me, so is my whole place. Father God, let this word become alive in Pascal's heart, and may he come to know you, Yeshua, Jesus. And I handed him, he goes, oh, thank you. Now, in December, he's going to Nairobi. I am praying that he takes that Gideon Bible with him.
Amen.
There are great Christians in Nairobi, but there's also a great thing called Islam, and Boko Haram is near. So, we will pray.
Yes.
Nigeria. So, we will pray for Pascal. Yes. He now has a New Testament, the Gideon, that actually... Yes. He has heard some about the word, so he's got some of this memory of, we talked about Abraham and Isaac, and I said, remember Abraham took Isaac up? And he said, yes, and he said, but God didn't want him to do that. God said he would provide. I said, so the difference between the Jews right now and the Christians are what? How did they cross over with their sins? I said, they had sacrifice. They had to have it every year. I said, but we have a much better sacrifice. It is the blood of Yeshua. He is the Passover lamb. He is our kinsman redeemer. He is the one who took it. I'm feeling the Holy Spirit right now.
Yeah.
I was high for like, I don't know. 6 hours. Woohoo! You know? But he received. I asked him if he would receive the word, and he said yes. So now we are going to pray.
Yes.
That he gets on his face in Nigeria.
Yes.
Before other Christians.
Yes.
And that many come.
And we agree.
Many come.
Did you?
So the big thing for me is, I was telling Deb, the mission field is not everywhere. The mission field is where your feet are.
Yes.
Yes.
That's where the mission field is.
Yes.
So I don't care if it's Jewel or Walmart or in your house with the x-ray guy or in Nigeria.
Yes.
The mission field is where you are.
Yes.
And let us just rejoice that we are able to give the word whatever we can.
Yes, amen.
So
and last week on Moody, they said that in Nairobi, that there's a churches that have been praying 24/7 for 10 years.
Yes.
To reach Nigeria.
And
they
said
because Boko Haram is doing horrendous things there, they have finally broken through as of like now, in these last 2 weeks.
So let's pray.
The gospel is going out on radio. And they raised like over $30,000 they raised. Gospel radio to go into Nigeria.
Yes.
So that's the good thing too, is that he asked what the difference between Christianity and Islam, mm-hmm. and the fact that they have no guarantee outside of martyrdom to go to heaven. They said, but we don't have to die because he provided the Lamb.
Amen.
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 So,
Abraham.
Yes. That's right.
And so that while she was talking about what is Messianic Judaism, I Googled what is the difference between Christianity and Messianic Judaism. And I read it real fast because my phone was making all kinds of noises. Not much. It said that the... And I always thought not much, but a lot of Messianics will say, no, that's not true, there's a huge difference. But what it is, what the article said, was that the Messianics both embrace the Old and the New Testament. Mm-hmm. However, Messianics stick to Hebrew traditions, and many of them are of Jewish backgrounds. And so that's very enlightening.
I told him that the Messianics, in a nutshell, I said, are either Jews who believe in Yeshua's Messiah, or those who love Jews believe in Yeshua Messiah, and we celebrate the feast, and we love the Lord in his fullness, from the beginning to the end.
Because I'm Irish, but I love Jews.
Me too.
I might be a smidgen Jew somewhere. We don't know, maybe through Cherokee Indian, because I got a little Cherokee Indian.
It's possible.
It's always different.
But I wish I was more Jewish.
Why? You know what? Go online and get Dr. Chuck Missler's commentary on the Book of Ruth. It will just bless you.
Chuck who?
Missler. Dr. Chuck Missler and his Book of Ruth. And it will literally just bless you.
That was my mom's name.
See, his daughter's
name.
See? Yep, that's a good because name. What it tells you is about our kinsman redeemer. So even we who love the Jew, we're brought in.
Grafted in.
We're adopted children. He is our kinsman redeemer, whether Jew or Gentile. He is ours. What? Because Yeshua, who was the very first one? Rahab, right?
Yes.
Gentile. Ruth.
That's an amazing story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and it fits you saying that at that point. It really fits because, you know, we often don't remember that Ruth is in the order of the scriptures is right after Judges, which is a very dark period of time. You know, the Jewish people were not doing too good with their faith. And Naomi, in her experience, was not doing that well.
Yes.
And yet the one who shines in this book is the Gentile Ruth, which is an indicator of even things to come.
Yes, yes.
So it's a huge, huge thing.
Yes.
But see, her heart was the same as ours. Your people are my people. Your God is my God. Your land is my land. I love you. And then we are his.
So I'm going to end with...
I'm going to Facebook post all this.
I'm going to dismiss in prayer. We'll pray for Pascal, as we pray.
Yes, Pascal.
And then we will have our Sunday. Jesus, thank you that you are our kinsman redeemer.
Amen.
And... we thank you that wherever our feet are, is our mission. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we go, sometimes you bring the mission field to us, as you do the Chantel. And we thank you for Pascal, and we thank you that he took this Bible, and we thank you for the receptivity of this heart.
Yes.
And we pray that your word, which will not return to you void, but will prosper in the faith for which it is sent.
Amen.
We pray that Pascal will not be able to stay apart from the Bible.
Yes.
That he will be drawn to it, that he will be drawn to the message of your word. And that even as he may not understand, his spirit will begin to receive your word. We pray for his salvation. And as has already been said, that his life will be saved and many others will be saved.
Yes.
Because of your word penetrating his heart.
Yes.
And we pray for you, all the other Pascals.
Yes.
That we may touch.
Yes.
Thank you again of Zach, as we pray for him earlier. For our children and for those that our children touch.
Yes.
We pray for your word to go forth and to accomplish that which is said. Thank you for this time. We pray you continue to bless our fellowship and our refreshment. Hashem Yeshua HaMashiach. In the name of Jesus the Messiah. Amen.